Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
To Nighttime Talk with myself, AJ, sitting in for Niall. Now, next up, the renaming of Trinity College Dublin's library. This conversation touches on history, identity and how we choose to honour our past. For those who might not be familiar, Trinity College's library was originally named after the philosopher George Berkeley. However, in April 2023, the college decided to remove his name due to Berkeley's historical involvement with slavery. This decision was part of a broader movement to reassess the legacies of historical figures. Subsequently, in October 2024, the library was renamed in honour of the esteemed Irish poet Evan Boland, marking the first time a building on Trinity's main campus was named after a woman. Advocates for the renaming argue that it's essential to align the names of our institutions with contemporary values. They believe that honouring individuals like Berkeley, who were involved in practices now considered reprehensible, is inappropriate. Renaming the library after Evan Boland not only rectifies this, but also celebrates a significant female figure in Irish literature. Opponents of the renaming caution against judging historical figures solely by today's standards. They argue that many prominent individuals from the past were products of their time, and erasing their names could lead to a slippery slope of historical revisionism. Instead, they suggest contextualising these figures within their era to foster understanding rather than condemnation. So we want to hear from you. Do you support the renaming of the library as a step forward towards social justice and inclusivity, or do you believe that such actions oversimplify history and risk erasing important aspects of our heritage? How should we balance acknowledging historical wrongs with preserving our cultural legacy? Let us know your thoughts on WhatsApp 087 188 0008. Now I'm going to go to Micheál first. Hi, Micheál, how are you doing?
Good evening to you.
So I've heard your news. I'm really sorry to hear, Micheál.
Well, I'd like to start off by thanking the staff. Unbelievable, the management and staff in what was the TLC, now the residence of Maynooth. My beloved wife passed away there today. But the management and staff, the care, the consideration showed across the board, it's just unparalleled. I don't care where you go. You walk in the door, you feel it's a large home. It's just the entire operation, absolutely brilliant. And I have told them, in the winter, me being in a position where I couldn't look after myself, I would be exceptionally glad to be in their care.
Well, Micheál, I'm glad that you had such good support, and I'm really sorry to hear about the passing of your lovely wife.
Yes, thank you very much. Well, it's ahead of the whole lot of us, but when it comes, it's hard to take it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's going to be a difficult time for you, Micheál. So we're all here for you. And, you know, thanks for coming on, especially with what's happened today.
Well, I love your programme. I won't go to sleep till I hear your programme.
Oh.
And it's very factual. It's very straight to the point. I like it. And it's something similar to the Maynooth residents. Very straight to the point. Very factual. Unbelievably caring. Like I don't care where you go. You won't get it any better. Simple as that.
Well, it's lovely to hear. It's really lovely to hear that you've had such a good experience. And that will really help with you being able to deal with it, I think.
It does. It really does. They helped the fact that the care was so unbelievably brilliant. The staff, unbelievable. I don't know how they manage it. The management must have some kind of a touch about them. They picked the most unbelievable staff and placed them in the area. Just unbelievable what to do.
That's great. Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, we'll send them all our regards as well. Hopefully they're listening.
Well, so do I. I hope they are. I hope my wife is in heaven looking down and listening to us as well.
She will be. Yeah, yeah. Of course she will.
It was 7 years in it.
Oh, bless. Okay.
And I couldn't say, just after, there was never a question anywhere. Just brilliant. The consideration, the feeling when you walk into the entire place, is just a feeling like of a large home. Everybody cares. It's a large family. It's lovely.
But that's what people need, you know, and when they're in their last years, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what they feel. You need a bit of consideration. And again, then the mention said to them, but you need consideration like a large home. Everybody in it, even the residents there, everybody, they get to know each other. Everybody appreciates each other. And they have mass in there, the road, they have everything. Just everything is so complete. There's no words in my vocabulary. And Hassan and Gregor Gahan and Morlem are fat. I prefer to be talking Irish, but I don't even have sufficient words in Irish or English to actually encompass the entire services provided there. It's just brilliant.
That's lovely. Thank you so much for sharing that, Micheál. And yeah, I'm sorry for your loss. So I'm going to move it on now. I'm really sorry, but we're talking about the changing of Trinity College Dublin's library.
Right. But isn't that library, I forget the names of the game, but I remember all this before about talks about changing names. First of all, you're encompassing the I would not change a name that has historically, let it be slavery or otherwise, I would not change it. Not for any reason under the sun. Well, maybe there might be particular, even if there's particular hardship involved in it. Now, the gentleman in question, or the name was after involved in slavery. Well, then we have to go back and find out the slavery, what was the element of the slavery he was involved in. But it was good enough all these years. And to be everybody heard of it, everybody knew it, everybody had seen Trinity and otherwise were familiar with it. Why change it? Why fix what's not broken?
So that's some people have said that, you know, it's quite, it's not like it's ancient history. It's quite modern history. So there's still some remnants of it around where people's grandparents or great-grandparents could have been enslaved at the time. So it's different if it's something like going back to like Julius Caesar or something like that. This is something more current, I suppose. And that's why I think that they decided to change it rather than, you know, something named after Isaac Newton or maybe, I don't know, Julius Caesar or something like that.
Yes, I know where you're coming from. Even that, the name has been on it for quite some time and people appreciated the name. The students in there, definitely, I know quite a number of students in there and appreciated everything that went along with Trinity. It's an outstanding, the service it provides is just outstanding. And to change a name that's been involved with it for so long, I wouldn't change it, even though changing it to the party you're referring to, yes, I admire that, but no, I would not change the name of the library. I would leave it as it is, as it has been distinguished and for such a long period of time. I'd leave it as it is.
I mean, as well, the thing is are we just forgetting all of the good that he did? Because he was an Irish philosopher and he was an Anglican bishop as well. And he was known for his theory of immaterialism, later called subjective idealism. So, I mean, he did have a lot of works in terms of philosophy. So why are we forgetting about all of that and just concentrating on the bads that he did? But at the time, what he was doing involved in slavery, it was normal at the time. So there was a lot of people involved in that. Are we going to just wipe out all of those people because they were involved in slavery? That was something that was happening at the time.
He had far more good points in my mind than he had bad ones. And they said the good that people do, yes, quickly forgotten, but the bad they do lives on. And that's what they're trying to do in this case. He was so involved everywhere else, did so much right across the board. And then, good, yes, I don't know what his involvement in slavery was or the depth of it was, but I don't know what he represented to the
Irish
people.
So I think just to answer you there, Micheál, as far as I looked up about it, it was that he had property over in the US and he employed, I think it was 3 or 4 slaves at his property. I think that's what his involvement was.
Yeah, the subject came up to me probably 20, 30 years ago. This, I heard about this before too, and it took a quick get because, yes, he might have 2 or 3, 4 slaves involved. In what capacity did it come to him? How did he treat them as the were slaves? I mean, you can treat the slave as a slave. We'll take it a far more closer to home. I see Woodlawn House at home in Galway. I don't hear anybody talking about that. What went on there was absolutely horrific, far worse than the gentleman we're speaking to about at the present minute. No, I would leave the library name as it is. He did so much good that he should be respected for what he got. Yes, 3 or 4 slaves to America. If she's in this country, I'd say to myself, well, hold on a minute. But no, that was a long way off. And having 3 or 4 slaves, maybe they're on the property when he inherited the property or when he purchased the property. But no, I would not change for the amount of good he did. And he was an absolute well thought of at the time. And for all those years since that, why change the good he did when people prefer to, if there's a bad point? Yes, I just said that earlier. The good that people do is sort of forgotten. The bad they do lives on. Well, he didn't do anything bad in this country. It might be questionable in the US, but the 3 or 4, if it's 3 or 400 slaves, you said something, but 3 or 4 slaves, and what capacity were they involved in whatever business he was running? No, I would not. I would certainly leave. It's an established name in the library. People respect it, and that's that. I would not change it.
Okay, stay with me there, Micheál. We're talking about the renaming of Trinity College Dublin's library, and I'm asking, do you think that this is leading to a slippery slope of historical revisionism? I'm going to go to Sharon next. Hi, Sharon, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks, AJ.
So what
and
do you think?
And my condolences to Micheál.
Thanks, Sharon.
What do I think? Well, until I heard Micheál, I was kind of on the thought that why would we want somebody who was associated with slavery? Because to me, it was that and the Holocaust were the most abhorrent things that happened, you know, and like, why would we want somebody associated with slavery? And I have to be honest, I don't know much about George Berkeley. What good did he do? I'm not familiar.
So he was a philosopher and an Anglican bishop, and he's best known for his theory of immaterialism, which is later called subjective idealism. He argued that material objects do not exist independently of perception, meaning that these things only exist as long as they are perceived. His famous dictum, esse est percipi, is to be is to be perceived, is central to his philosophy. So his philosophy is sort of the basis of a lot of modern philosophy. And so he did actually do a lot of good. And it just sort of seems a little bit like, you know, he did then one bad thing and then everything's just stripped away from him.
I have to be honest, I'm still not sure what good he did. I mean, you know, we all have opinions about materialism. Like, what good did he actually do of it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know what he still don't know what he did that was good, but
so he was involved in education and religious efforts, and he advocated for the expansion of education in the American colonies. So he was involved in the American colonies, and that's where then he got involved with obviously having slaves on his property. But I mean, he was obviously esteemed enough to have the library named after him in the first place. It's only now that it's like, oh, actually, wait a second, he supported slavery. So now, oh, we changed the name of the library. And I just wonder, is it erasing our history? Even though, you know, a lot of historical figures, they're not all just angels. You know, there's good and bad. Everybody's human.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from.
And so, And so
why it's good to have discussions like this, AJ, because, you know, it educates us all. And I would probably, you know, change my mind about it now, thinking about how it can change history if we do start messing around with names and you know, things like that. We could be messing with things too much. We can still discuss, you know, we all know slavery was abhorrent. And as Micheál said, maybe that man did, you know, treat the people well. It was obviously the done thing in America, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of people in history like John Locke, Isaac Newton, and then there's many universities in the UK. Even Trinity College Dublin received donations for funding from benefactors connected to slavery. So then it's like, should we just close Trinity down? You know, because
it's like erasing history, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's like trying to erase history, and if we erase history, we learn nothing.
And are we becoming too PC, where everything has to go in line with how we see things now?
Probably, AJ. I mean, it's good to talk about it. It's good to move on and, you know, do better as a society. But I'm coming to the conclusion now that, yes, you know, we probably should leave the names alone.
Yeah. Stay with me there, Sharon. Mm. I'm going to go to Graham. Hi, Graham. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
So have you been listening in? What do you think? Do you think that the name should have been left, or do you agree that we've changed it now?
AJ, first of all, condolences to Micheál and the passing of his wife. I think the name should be left alone. Although I know George Berkeley was enriched in a kind of a life of employing kind of three or four slaves, but then at the same time, George Berkeley was heavily involved in creating education. I'm nearly sure George Berkeley was attending Trinity College at the age of 15. So, I mean, I think personally it's a historical name. And I just think that renaming the library kind of takes away that kind of that culture and the education behind the name of the library. It takes away that kind of historical value of the library name. It takes away the historical meaning behind the library name. And rename it, I think, think it's a bit kind of absurd, and I don't know possibly what good it could come from it, maybe.
Do you feel like it's a bit like sort of censorship and putting trigger warnings on things, whereas if we actually knew the history of it, we could appreciate it for what it is and know that there was wrong done and there was also good done, and then we could accept it for what it is rather than, no, we're going to change it because it has connections to something that we don't like?
Yeah, I do. I think there is censorship issues there. And it's like anything in life. Like, none of us are going to agree with slavery. None of us do agree with slavery. But at the same time, it's part of history. There's been many events in history that have touched on slavery. And maybe if we as kind of people knew more about the history, knew more about the meaning behind the name, knew more maybe about what George Burgess stood for, what George Burgess kind of done in life, I think perhaps then we could kind of come to terms with what his philosophy was and the cultural meaning behind the name of the library, and why the library is named that way.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I'm going to just go to the ads now, guys. Your line is very loud there, Graham. I think there's loads of cars going past you. But yeah, no, I totally agree. And I do think that it's a bit of a shame that we're editing history like that. And I almost feel like, yeah, we're putting trigger warnings on things, like we were talking the other week about putting a trigger warning on Father Ted. And this is kind of more of the same, is it not? Are we becoming too PC with this sort of thing? Should it not be a case where we leave it there and we learn a little bit more about the history and we can make our own decisions on what we think? Let me know what you think on WhatsApp, 087-188. Welcome back to Nighttime Talk on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio with myself, AJ, in for Niall this week. And I just want to say that we've got lots of messages in for Micheál and just passing on their condolences to you. Thank you so much for coming on the air tonight. And condolences from all of us here at Nighttime Talk as well. So we're talking about the renaming of Trinity College Dublin's library. Now, they changed the name from the George Berkeley Library. He was a philosopher, but because he had ties with slavery in the colonies in the US, they've changed the name and they've taken his name off it because of these ties. And we're just sort of asking, is this historical revisionism? Are we deleting our history? Is it like putting a trigger warning on things? Should we have left his name in place? If you want to get involved in the conversation, the number on WhatsApp is 087-188-0008. I'm going to go to Martin now. Hi, Martin. How are you?
I'm very well this evening, AJ. Thank you. I'd just like to add my condolences, my sincere condolence to me.
Yeah, I'm sure he's listening still. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, I think in some ways this kind of relates to their previous topic in that the social mores change. What I mean by that is, you know, the mores change, whether it be globally, nationally, parochially. The norms in society change as time passes. And what was acceptable 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, becomes non-acceptable today. And there are things today which people accept and regard as perfectly normal, I guarantee you, in the future, will not be regarded as normal. And things we wouldn't regard as normal today will again become normal, if you know what I mean. I mean, there's still slavery goes on all over the world. There are more slaves in the world today than there have ever been. And that's an absolute fact. It can be checked if people want to check it. But the idea of renaming a historical building after a historical figure, the idea of giving it a new name. Now, I don't know. I mean, there's only so many books you can read in a week. I have to be honest. I've never read any of the poetry by Evan Boland. And I'm sure she's a lovely woman. But in 50 years' time, someone will be able to go through her poetry and find something that they find offensive. I'm not saying it is, subjectively, I'm not saying it'll be offensive to me. I'm saying somebody will find something offensive. And given enough kind of oxygen of publicity, you'll get enough people to follow that narrative or that attitude. I know what I'm going to mention next is a it's a private business, it's a business. I don't hear the same people who want to be named, who want the library renamed and who support the renaming of the library. I don't hear them jumping up and down calling for the renaming of the Barack Obama Plaza. I mean, this is a man who, you know, he was responsible for drone strikes in Pakistan that killed women and children. He led the charge to invade Libya.
Now, do we only worry about certain atrocities in history then, seemingly?
Yes, whatever, that's what I'm saying. Whatever fits the narrative of the day, the social mores which people find acceptable. And the real problem is the people don't, they look at it on a very surface level. That's what I'm saying. I mean, Barack Obama, I never liked the man. And that's only my opinion. I never liked him. You know, they marched into Libya. They killed Gaddafi. Now, Gaddafi was, whatever people in the West thought about him, he was much loved by his people. You know, he took all the money that came from oil, and he put it into a society. Christians lived in Libya without any kind of persecution. You had black, white, you know, all colours. They all lived there. The state provided for them. You had Libyan students pouring into Ireland in their hundreds. The Libyan state were paying for it to educate their doctors, their teachers, their engineers here in Ireland. Now, I'm not crying over the loss of finances. That's not my point. My point is people pick what they want to pick to make themselves feel better and to justify their own outcry. They don't look at what the big picture is like. I'm not in favour of renaming the library. I'm not an ex-alumni of the college. I mean, you know, I never went there. But the idea of renaming it, if you really want to make a point about how bad things were and how things were seen as normal, leave it. It should have been left as the Berkeley Library. And as students come and go, they should be told, you know why this is called the Berkeley Library? It's called after George Berkeley. Do you know that he had slaves? And you make a conversation that way. Because I guarantee you, as I said, in 20, 30, 40 years' time, you will have revisionists who will look back, and if they really want to, they will find something wrong with the poetry or something that was said or said something on social. I think the woman died about, 20...
I'm not sure, actually, Martin. I don't know. But from what you're saying, do you think that it would be better to education is better? And I did mention that as well. You know, and if we all knew about the history, then it's something that we can learn about and we can respect and we can understand and we can say, gosh, that, you know, and know more about it. Instead of getting rid of the name, we're erasing him from history and then that's it. And then there's no more conversation.
Absolutely. I mean, if you take it to that extent, if you erase the names of Hitler, Stalin, Mao, if you erase them from the history books,
we forget about them.
In 50 years' time, you've forgotten about it. You know, how do you start that conversation? How do you start that conversation? Because people won't be aware of it. I'm lost when it comes to things like this. I don't understand the mindset of people who only look at the now, the minute, and they want to justify their own opinion on how they feel today, because the feelings of people today, the social mores, the things that are acceptable, as was discussed in your previous topic, the things that are acceptable today, in 50 years' time, will be completely, not everything, but there will be elements of what's acceptable in society today will be unacceptable. I mean, Darian made a comment. She was laying out, you know, when she's walking through her area. And I'm not having a pop at Darian here, don't get me wrong. What I'm going to say is, it's perfectly acceptable in today's society for a lady like Darian to walk up to a group of adolescents or young males and say, here, guys, you know, do you want some sweets? Now, if you reverse that, and I, as a 65-year-old man, were to walk up to a group of teenage girls and say, hey, girls, I have sweets here. You know, even if I walk away, chances are I'd be reported to the guards. Like,
That's a good point, Martin. I hear what you're saying. Yeah. But just to get back to Berkeley, I just want to say as well that many universities, including Oxford, Cambridge and even Trinity College Dublin, received donations or funding from benefactors connected to slavery. In Berkeley's case, he not only defended slavery in his writings, but also financially benefited from it. He purchased enslaved people to work on his Rhode Island plantation, which he intended to use as a training ground for missionaries to convert Native Americans. Now, it could be said that everybody who had a plantation over there had purchased enslaved people. So that was the done thing at the time. That was the done thing 400 years ago. So why are we now just judging it based on what we know now? Why is he being taken out of the history books? Why has he been taken off the name of the library? I'm just going to go to Alan now. If you want to get involved in this as well, guys, it's 087-188-0008 is the number for WhatsApp. Hi, Alan. How are you?
How are you, AJ? Well, I think, AJ, this is a classic case of, you know, erase history and you'll repeat it. The very people who sat around in Trinity College, the upper class kids who went to university to get a degree to become doctors or surgeons or solicitors or barristers or whatever, they're the very same people who sat around discussing the horrors of slavery. And then they're the ones holding their mobile phones that are made in sweatshops where thousands of slaves are making our technology. And this is the problem. We sit around making problems about the past because we can't deal with the present. We can't deal with the present world we're living in, so we try to erase the past sins, hoping we can redeem ourselves from this groovy side effects of being connected. Just a very nasty side effect of modern world is that there's worse of things going on in certain parts of this planet when it comes to slavery than there was in the 16th century. And that's a fact, and that was said by one of your other callers. Slavery is done now to 50 cents an hour, and we're all contaminated by it, but you know, we can't all change names and hope that we can change the name of a library to make ourselves less attached to slavery. That's silly and nonsensical.
So, yeah, Alan, you're making a really good point. So it's like we should all get rid of our iPhones.
Well, that is true. I have a phone here. I don't like spending a lot on, but I wouldn't buy an iPhone. I buy a normal phone, but it costs me $450. But I don't know who's connected to this phone. There could be kids making the pieces to them and people up all night making them, all dropping off, dying from stress and horror. And how am I going to make that a better place if I can't have my phone, I can't connect, I can't relate to what's going on around me? But there's people paying a price for what I want. And that was done in the 60s. Like all the Royal Family of England, all the way down to Queen Elizabeth IV, are connected to slavery.
They're all connected.
All the wealth of sugar, the sugar factories, the Tate and Loyal, all these famous names, Cadbury's, the people that were all connected to, you know, making us all have a nice food, use slavery to produce what we call luxury. And it's still done today, and we turn a blind eye because it's an inconvenient truth that we have worse conditions for people living in Asia, Africa, who mine all these products to get us their modern technology. And a mobile phone that I have here is only worth €20. Well, we buy it for $450 because we're that stupid that we don't even know what we're doing with our money at times because we want the latest gadget. And the slavery that's done is done tokenistic slavery, where you're given a minimum wage to make it look like you're working when actually it's slavery. Slavery by another name.
Martin, that's Alan there sort of supporting what you said. He's made that point really, really well, I thought.
He has. He's made an excellent point. I mean, there are children being engaged to. And I know a lot of people say, well, I don't own a Tesla or an electric vehicle. It doesn't matter. If you own a portable phone, the rare earth materials come from the same sources. Children being forced to walk to dig toxic rare earth materials out of the earth so that you know, big corporations can make millions. It's an excellent point. It gets back to my point. What's acceptable today, you know, in 50, 60 years' time, the revisionists will look back, and people that are literally almost deified. In Barack Obama, in this country, people turned out, they thought he was the best thing since sliced bread. Now, I'm not picking him out just as an individual. I'm just using him as an example. You know, like drone strikes in Pakistan, killing women and children, going into a sovereign nation, Libya. All it had nothing to do with liberation. It was just to do with money. It's the same thing.
You know what the gas thing is? You know, AJ.
Go ahead, Alan.
The very nature of politics is with what you were saying there. I totally agree with him when it comes to Barack Obama. He was the most applauded but dangerous man that ever entered the White House. He took over from Bush, and he had the military campaigns going off all over the world, and he was given a peace award by the Nobel Peace Prize, and he carried out the same atrocities that George Bush did. But because he was smart and communicated better than George Bush and didn't come across as crassy as George Bush, people thought he was the Messiah. And he also, nobody even talks about how he went into the American state and he went in to a national debt of $10 trillion. And after 8 years, it went up to $20 trillion. It took 200 years to make the national debt $10 trillion. And it took him 8 years to double it. Nobody talks about that either. He was the worst thing to happen to the American economy because all he did was inflate the economy and cause mass mayhem around the world. And nobody wants to call him out because he's black and it comes across as racist. And that's crazy. And what we have is all these college students renaming that college after a woman who will never be known because our poultry were shy. God forgive me.
Guys, thanks for the laugh, Alan. We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you, everybody, who got involved in that.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.